Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. I believe on Psalm 20, especially verse 7. And here we'll see Christ's own trust in the Lord. Luke chapter 22, if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, that's on page 882. We'll begin reading on verse 39. And read through the 53rd verse. This is the word of God. Luke 22:39. And he, that is Jesus, came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that indeed you are a trustworthy God. We can trust in your word. Better yet, Lord, we can trust in your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray today that you would be opening our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things from your law, that your Spirit would be using your word, Father, to teach us, to convict us of sin, to call us to a closer walk of faith with Christ. For our good and to the praise of your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, on July 4th, 1776, 245 years ago today, our Congress adopted what is accurately called the Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. It begins with these words, and I'll just read a few of the opening words. Quote, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And then these familiar lines, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. End quote. You know, it's good for us all to be reminded of the foundational truths of our government here in the United States of America. You know, in our country, we proudly declare our independence from foreign powers, oppressive governments, and from tyrannical leaders. You know, as citizens of the U.S., it's right for us to honor our founding fathers and their humble acknowledgement of God, who created us, in their own words, certain unalienable rights, and the proper role of a government who derives its just powers from, quote, the consent of the governed. But on this Lord's Day, and every day, you know, it's vital for us as citizens of heaven and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to gratefully and gladly declare not our political independence, but this morning, God's word here, Psalm 20, teaches us about the vital importance not of declaring our independence, but our dependence on our faithful God, even as we pray. For in scriptural prayer, Christians declare their full trust in their faithful Lord. You know, how do our prayers declare our trust in the Lord? We'll see here in Psalm 20, there's corporate prayer in the first five verses, and verses 6 through 8, there's a confident prayer of faith, and then concluding there with verse 9, a crisis prayer. Remember, our theme for this summer series in the Psalms is this: trusting the Lord in trying times. And today, especially focusing on prayerful trust. And so, would invite you to turn in your Bibles there to Psalm 20 that John read for us already. Psalm 20, that's on page 456. We begin with this truth: corporate prayer declares God's triumph. Now, Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, called Psalm 20, quote, a national anthem fitted to be sung at outbreak of war. In more recent times, Dr. Jim Boyce put it this way: it's a prayer for the king's victory in a day of battle. You know, in this prayer, and that's, I believe, the best way of understanding Psalm 20, you know, God's people declare their trust in God's conquest. You know, in Psalm 20, it begins, you can see it in your Bibles, seven times we read that simple word, may. You know, really, it's seven passionate pleas that we read of in the psalmist. And it best way of understanding these pleas, at least the first five, they're coming from God's people. They're praying this together as a congregation. You know, that first plea, and we're going to move through these quickly, where the key verse there, you know, thinking about trust, is Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You know, we're trusting in the Lord. Why do we trust in the Lord? Look at the opening verse there, Psalm 20, verse 1. First, the Lord answers When does he answer? On this day of trouble, on this day of distress. It seems that King David and his men were preparing for an imminent battle. We don't have the details here, but they're getting ready for warfare. And how do they begin to prepare for battle? They pray. You know, they're seeking God's face as they prepare for battle against Israel's enemies. In faith, God's people gather together for congregational prayer to the Lord. Give you another example from Scripture. You remember when Elijah was going to face the prophets of Baal? There in 1 Kings chapter 18, how did he begin? He began with prayer. We pray to the Lord knowing that the Lord answers our prayer. The Lord hears our prayers. You know, and our sovereign God answers. On the day of trouble, you know, he prays, may the Lord hear our humble prayer. He prays knowing that the Lord, still in verse 1, protects. The Lord answers, the Lord protects. May the name of the God of Jacob, you know, many things we could say about Jacob, but Jacob had a genuine face-to-face relationship with the Lord. You remember in Genesis 32, write this down as a cross-reference, not there in your Bible. You know, Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. All good reason to believe he was wrestling with the Lord himself. He received that new name from Jacob, the deceiver, the heel grabber. Now he became Israel. There in Genesis 32, Israel, one way of translating that is God strives. You know, Jacob knew that God was striving for him. God was protecting him. God was defending him. You know, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you, set you on high, set you safely apart from your enemy. Derek Kidner writes this, the divine name was not regarded in Israel as magically potent, but as a token of God's self-revelation and his readiness to be invoked. You know, third, he praises God. He prays knowing that God is the God of help. May he send you help. Psalm 20, verse 2, may he send you succor and strength from the sanctuary. Not the temple that had not been built, Solomon's temple, but from the sanctuary in glory, from Mount Zion in glory. May he send you help from heaven. Give you support. You know, here is the Lord's sovereign and sure strength. You know, what Matthew Henry called strength in the soul, in the inward man. You know, 30 praise, may the Lord remember. You know, the Lord doesn't forget. He doesn't struggle with dementia, senility, forgetfulness. You know, but when we pray, we're calling upon the Lord, Lord, remember the promises that you gave to us. There may he remember, verse 3, may he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. You know, there is an account in Scripture, King Saul offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before his fight with the Philistines there in 1 Samuel chapter 13. The problem there, the sin that Saul committed was that he as the king offered those sacrifices. He didn't wait for Samuel, and he suffered God's judgment. But, you know, here David knows that we are to have our hearts right with the Lord, even as we pray. You know, with these sacrifices, it's the implication that Israel is acknowledging their sinfulness before a holy God. Now here we see still our gracious need for the sacrifice of Christ, the greater, more gracious sacrifice of Christ. Hear this from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 and following. Hebrews 10, verse 21. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, Lord, may we remember. May you remember that indeed you are a faithful God who loves us in Christ. Fifth, he prays, Lord, there in verse 4, may the Lord grant you your heart's desires and fulfill all your plans. You know, this is not a blank check. It doesn't mean, well, if we pray it, name it, and claim it, God's going to give it to us. But at the very least, it means that when we pray, we pour out our hearts before the Lord. We tell him where we're honestly struggling, where we're hurting, where we're doubting, where we're in despair. Our prayers are to be from the heart. A heart of faith. And may the Lord fulfill all your plans. Remember again, they're heading into battle. Lord, may we follow your strategy for the battle. May we know that you're leading us in triumphant procession in Christ. May we know, Lord, that you give us a scriptural strategy still today for defeating sin and Satan. You know, by the shed blood of Christ. You know, he's praying with trust in the Lord. Six, a little change here. Change, believe, in narrator, change of pronouns. We have, may we shout for joy. And not so much a petition here. Although I believe this still is a prayer request. You know, King David is praying this for his soldiers as they prepare to head out to battle. May we shout for joy in your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. Just a little bit of biblical background here. What are banners? A little bit different than the banner behind us. Banners were military flags that troops would carry into battle. They served a few purposes. They would assemble the troops. They would direct the attacks. They would distinguish friend from foes, urge the troops on to victory. And now in this part of the psalm, you see that petition or that gospel truth of salvation starts coming front and center. We read it there in verse 5. May we shout for joy over your salvation and to prepare you for what's coming. We see saves and saving in verse 6. We see that word save again in verse 9. You know, we pray and trust to a God who sovereignly saves us in Christ. And then the last part of this prayer request. There in verse 5, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. May Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, fulfill all that you ask of him. You know, there's a great little book by Dr. Ralph Davis, PCA pastor, man of God, you know, one of our great living preachers today, but he has a little book, a series of sermons on the Psalms, and this series is Psalm 13 through 24, and the title of this book is Slogging Along in the paths of righteousness, but there's a sermon about Psalm 20, the psalm we're studying today, and he makes this encouraging application about Psalm 20, verses 1 through 5. He writes, first in verses 1 through 5, you discover the prayer we can still pray. You know, keep your Bibles open when you pray. You know, keep your Bibles open to Psalm 20, verses 1 through 5. Well, all of the psalm. You know, but pray these promises, these petitions back to the Lord. But later on, Dr. Davis writes this. Psalm 20, verses 1 and 2 is my favorite benediction to use for the Lord's people at the close of worship, simply because it is very applicable to so many of them. How many of them are standing there on that day of worship, also in a day of distress? How desperate some of them are for help from the sanctuary and support from Zion. We may sometimes lose sight of the multiple hidden troubles of the people of God. So here again, Psalm 20, verses 1 through 2. You'll hear it for our benediction. You know, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. You know, so prayer here begins as we declare God's triumph. Now in verses 6 through 8, a still confident prayer that is declaring our trust in the Lord. You know, verse 6, again, another change of pronouns here. Now I know. You know, this is King David praying this himself, but we can be praying into this same fashion. You know, here King David is declaring his trust in the Lord publicly and in his prayer as well. He has a confidence in the Lord's salvation. Now I know that the Lord, you know, the faithful, the covenant-keeping God, Jehovah, Yahweh, saves his anointed. You know, who are the anointed? If you go through the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings are anointed. And so here David is thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you that you save kings like me, sinners like me. Lord, I thank you that you save us from our sin. You know, here David possesses assurance of the Lord's deliverance and salvation, even as he girds himself for conflict. The battle has not been fought, the victory has not been won, but he is praying, knowing in faith, trusting in the Lord. Lord, you're a God who is with me. Lord, you're going to win this battle. You know, and for us as Christians today, we know that even beyond a shadow of a doubt because of Christ. You know, turn quickly there to Luke 22, that passage we've already read, Luke 22, and just reading a couple of verses again. Luke 22, verses 41 through 43, Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. And he withdrew from them, Luke 22, 41, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. You know, when did that angel from heaven appear to strengthen him? As he was praying. In that time of crisis, in that day of doubt, distress. And Jesus already knew the outcome. You know, he knew he was headed to the cross. He would suffer there for our sins. He would die for our sins. He would be buried, but that he would be raised again triumphantly on that third day. So there is a confidence as we pray always in the Lord's salvation. Again, back to Psalm 20, verse 6. Second part, he, the Lord, will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. We have a confidence in the Lord's answer. You know, we've seen that answer already in verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. And now he has that assurance of faith that the Lord will indeed answer him from his holy heaven. The Lord providentially hears and answers our prayers of faith. We can always trust the Lord. And with the saving strength of his right hand. No offense here to left-handed people. I have to ask my wife to forgive me again. You know, why the right hand? Right hand was the strong hand. It's the way of Scripture speaks to us in ways that we can understand. Saving strength. God not only has a strong right hand, but I praise God for that word, the saving might. You know, God doesn't just reach out his right hand and maybe is going to win the battle. No, you know, when God enters the fray, he's going to win. He's going to defeat his and our enemies. You know, the Lord's all-sufficient might to those who trust in him. Isaiah 12, verse 2, puts it this way, and I know many of you know this verse, Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. You know, we trust in the Lord, who is our strength, our song. He has become our salvation. John Calvin put it this way, the faithful ascribe to the grace of God the deliverance which had been wrought for David from the greatest dangers. That's true of David. It's even more true of us in Christ. So now verse 7, you know, the focus, I believe, of Psalm 20. You know, there's a confidence in the Lord's name. Confident prayer, as confidence is in the character of this great, gracious, the saving might of this strong God. You know, Psalm 7, you know, some people talk about Bible translations being a literal translation. None of our English versions are like that. But if we were to translate Psalm 7 literally, it would read as follows. Some in chariots, some in horses, in the name of the Lord our God, we trust. You know, the emphasis is on that word, trust. Some of our versions even have different words there. Rely on the Lord. We boast in the Lord. Can also be translated, remember. But it's rightly translated, trust here. You know, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You know, we don't trust in chariots and horses. That Israel needed to hear that. You go back to Deuteronomy 17:16, you can read it in your own Bibles. God actually commanded his people not to trust in the horses from Egypt, not to trust in chariots. King Solomon did obtain chariots and horses, disobedient to his own destruction, downfall. What was the problem? When we trust in the things of this world, then it draws our attention, sinfully draws our attention from the things of the Lord. It's one or the other. Either we're going to trust in the things of the world, power of the world, might of the world, prestige, power of the world, chariots and horses, or we're going to be trusting in the name of the Lord our God. You know, in the rest of the story, you know, Egypt had their chariots and horses. You go back to Exodus 14 and 15. What happened to Egypt's chariots and horses? God parted the Red Seas. as people pass through on dry ground. But the rest of the story, and make sure children hear this as well, you know, God caused the waters to come crashing in on Israel's enemies, on his enemy. Israel saw their drowned, defeated enemy. You know, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What does it mean for us to trust in the Lord? You know, to flesh this out a little bit for us. You know, two things. When we trust in the Lord, first, we reject the world's ways and weapons of spiritual battles. You know, again, think of David. You know, David was facing Goliath. You know, King Saul said, you know, come here, son. You know, let me gird you for battle. Put on my bronze helmet. Put on my coat of mail. Here, David, here's the sword. Now you're equipped to go and fight Goliath. And what did David do? Threw it off. You know, he faced Goliath. You can read it for yourselves, 1 Samuel 17. He faced Goliath with a staff, 5 smooth stones, only needed one, and a sling. And he defeated Goliath with God's chosen weapons. You know, we reject the world's ways and weapons. You know, but secondly, when we trust in the Lord, we rest on God's glorious and gracious name for our strength, for our security, and for our salvation. You know, Ephesians 6, we put on God's gospel armor. We especially are people of prayer. Again, Ephesians 6. You know, our trust is in the Lord. It's a gospel trust. You know, we sang, Behold Our God, that closing line. You can see it there in your bulletin. God eternal, humbled to the grave. Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. You know, our trust is in our risen and reigning Savior. You know, is that not what Scripture tells us? Again, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. The sting of death is sin, verse 66. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And what's the last part there? Verse 8. They, meaning Israel's enemies, David's enemies, our enemies, they collapse and fall. You know, remember, the battle has not yet begun, but David in faith knows that God's enemies, his enemies, will collapse and fall. They will most certainly be defeated. But we, in glorious contrast, we rise and stand upright. I believe that's true even here and now, but we'll know it in its fullness when we're with the Lord in glory. G. Campbell Morgan helps us when he writes, this prayer of faith is not after the battle, but before it. You know, don't wait till you're in the midst of battle. I better pray about this. You know, this ought to be a pattern of our walk of faith with Christ. This confident trust in Christ, this conquering faith. You know, one of our favorite family movies, or at least mine, I didn't take a poll, is Fiddler on the Roof. You know, set in Russia about 1905. The Empire of Russia was ruled by a dictatorial Romanov ruler, Tsar Nicholas II. The cruel government incited fear and hatred of the Jews. The story centers around a poor Jewish milkman by the name of Reb Teviev, his wife Golda, their five daughters. Before the soldiers drive the Jews out of their village of Anatevka, you know, we witness the Jewish traditions of this family. There's a beautiful scene in this movie. It's a Sabbath day, a Shabbat service. The family is gathered around the supper table, the dinner table. You know, Teviev at one end, his wife at the other end, and they begin to pray and to sing. And one verse of that song, I'm not going to sing it for you, reads as follows: "May the Lord protect and defend you. May the Lord preserve you from pain. Favor them, O Lord, with happiness and peace. O hear our Sabbath prayer. Amen." I believe they were praying this prayer not only to the Lord, but praying it for their beloved daughters as well. You know, before you think, well, there's a Christian theme, you know, in this movie, quite the contrast. Teviev is trusting in tradition, trusting in his own wisdom, hard work. You know, but in these dark and difficult days in which we live, let us as Christians pray and sing with confident trust in the name of the Lord. What would a confident trust in the Lord look like? Real quickly. And then we're going to real quickly look at verse 9. But, you know, what does a confident trust in the Lord look like? First, it's a scriptural trust in the Lord. Think of Psalm 20, but all of Scripture. Secondly, it's a singing trust in the Lord. You know, when we're trusting in the Lord, we ought to be gladly, gratefully singing God's praises, not just when we're gathered together on Sunday, you know, but around our own supper tables, you know, during our own family worship time, or maybe when we're just driving together in the car. It's a scriptural trust. It's a singing trust. Finally, it's a sure trust. You know, because it rests not only upon the character of God, but it rests upon the cross of Christ. You know, finally, it's a crisis prayer. Just to add the bookend here, Psalm 20, verse 9, a crisis prayer, declaring our trust in our true King. It's a corporate prayer, declaring God's triumph, a confident prayer, declaring our trust in the Lord, but finally a crisis prayer, declaring our trust in our true King. Again, a literal translation of verse 9 would read as follows: "Save, Lord. May the King answer us in the day when we call." You know, save, Lord. You know, there at the very end, David and all of God's people are acknowledging, Lord, unless you save us, we will not be saved. Unless you hear our prayers, especially our prayer of confession of sin, repentance of sin, that we're resting upon Christ alone, Lord, save us. O Lord, the faithful, covenant-keeping God. You know, just jot this down. Won't have time to get into it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. This is the prayer the disciples pray. They're out in the boat with Jesus. The wind and the waves are great. The boat is sinking. What do they cry out to the Lord? Save us, Lord. If you don't know what to pray, just pray that. Save us, Lord. May the King answer us. You know, this is David praying that, praying the King, the one true King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a King that is eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. May that King answer us on the day when we call. And he does. You know, when we pray to the Lord, you know, he it doesn't go to voicemail. You know, it doesn't, well, even worse, voicemail is not set up yet. How do I get a hold of them? You know, on the day when we call, the Lord hears and answers. In his own practical, pithy way, Matthew Henry gives this gospel nugget about Psalm 20. He writes, "In singing these verses, we should encourage ourselves to trust in God and to stir ourselves up to prayer." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can pray. We can pray to our covenant-keeping God, our faithful God, the God who loves us in Christ, given to us the Holy Spirit, and so we praise you, our true and our triune God. Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer, and teach us to be faithful in praying. Praying before the battles of life, praying in the midst of the struggle, giving you thanks afterwards for the triumph. But most of all, Lord, may we always be praising you, that you are not only a strong God, but a saving God. A God who loves us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.